Hello. The fine young men you will hear on this podcast will share some equal opinions. They will talk about Medicare for all.
Stick to the script, Cerny!
My apologies. Their opinions may not reflect the stance of their greedy corporate top 1%.
Stick to the script, man!
My apologies again. Their opinions may not reflect the stance of their employers, past, present, nor future. My name is Cerny Banders, and I approve of this message.
You are listening to the Geeks and Grimes podcast with Bex, Rich, and Mike. And now, let's get our show started.
Hello, world. Thank you for joining us for our fifth episode of the Geeks and Gripe podcast. I do not sound like a McCann anymore. Yay.
Oh my God, I can hear him now.
Yes, it turns out that sound checking is actually important. You can find us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and I have confirmed now that we do appear in Google Podcasts. Thank you, crawler search engine indexing thingy.
All hail our Google overlords.
Yes, we can find us on social media on Geeks, Ask Geeks and Gripes, and in Twitter, well, then at Geeks and Gripes. We're still in Patreon, we're waiting for those lovely people to donate for us because this is freaking expensive, and basically this is why everything's so low quality at the moment. And as you can probably tell, the site is still non-existent, and we apologize for that. It will eventually show up.
I would commit seppuku, but then, you know, it wouldn't get done. So for now, I'll just live in shame and use that shame to actually make the website.
Harakiri. So before we get started on the topics, I want to do a bit of a Star Wars update. As of today, or maybe a couple days ago, I officially have seen all 9 Star Wars movies.
Woo!
Why? Woo! That happened!
Yes, I found myself sitting alone on the corner of a theater watching Ben Solo and Rey be themselves, I guess.
All hail Ben Solo. That his swollenness is the only reason he survived that fall through that hole. Like, his muscles were just too amazing.
Apparently that is an accurate statement. So,
and the most awkward kiss ever.
Like, I mean, yeah,
such
a
weirdness.
Yeah, the kiss of death.
Or a kiss of life, if you want to look at it the other way, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
So this is only our 5th episode, and I cannot believe we have to go back to this topic because they keep doing this over and over and over again. And what we're talking about is those wonderful gaming companies that just continue to BS their, you know, loyal fan base. We give them a chance, they step on us. We give them a chance again, they sit on us. We give them a chance, and then you know the next verb that's going to come up.
Remember, we are PG.
Apparently. That way we can get sponsors. If not, I would have dropped it.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's another good reason, maybe to support us on Patreon so I can unleash my flurry of vocabulary and interesting comments that I have to kind of hold back on for, you know, PG ratings.
Yes. So let's start with the first company that seems to, again, continue to show up on the news, completely disappointing their fans, and just taking a dump over them. I'll let Dexter lead this one off. It's Blizzard. Blizzard's at it again.
Yes, people, because, you know, it wasn't enough with the whole Diablo Immortal, you got phones, right? and the we're just gonna go ahead and crap all over the World of Warcraft story and the new patches, coming right hot off the heels of their most disappointing patch ever in World of Warcraft. Basically, spoiler alert if anybody's actually playing regular Warcraft and not Classic.
Spoiler!
Spoiler alert! So basically, the old god that's been scheming, planning, puppeteering everyone for God knows how long, you beat him. You just beat him. He's done. He's gone forever. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, that wasn't anticlimactic at all. Oh, and also, they almost downright steal, like, the cinematography from the Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, when Sauron is defeated. Like, almost beat for beat. I swear somebody analyzed the music, and they found that it's, like, two chords or something different from, like, the same music. So, you know, since that wasn't enough, hey, let's go ahead and take a nice, beloved, classic game that made a lot of people actually start playing World of Warcraft, Warcraft 3, and let's go ahead and let's remake it. They announced that this in BlizzCon, I think, 2018, and they said, you know, that they were gonna have Warcraft 3 reforged, and it would be amazing, and it would have amazing features and amazing CGI cutscenes instead of, like, the old cutscenes, which weren't bad, I mean, for the time. And they brought it out, and they messed it up, because of course they did. They still charge you for it. They still charge you full price for what is basically a beta, in my opinion.
Isn't that way too common nowadays? I remember the first time I saw the first alpha game that you would just pay, not full price, it was a discount price, but you started playing while the developers were still kind of coding, and you were doing all of their QA, basically. And then they said, oh yeah, we're going to keep on working on this and release it someday. And you just played for 5-6 months, a year, and the game never came out, and you just feel cheated. Well, now they don't even hide it. They just say, oh yeah, we're releasing a full game, but at the same time, it's basically just a beta test. Like, it's unfinished, unpolished, and they extend this for as long as they can because people keep on paying, and it's just like a vicious cycle. But you wouldn't expect that from Blizzard, except that they did. And it's just kind of crazy, like, where the world is going nowadays.
Well, it's more about the games as a live service idea now. That is, you know, you don't throw out a full game. You throw out a game that you will constantly, quote-unquote, update and expand on and get more money from people through expansion passes and season passes and all that jazz. And it's become quite a problem because honestly, it's rather insulting that they're like, oh yeah, here's a $60 game, and day one we'll have a patch that's almost the size of a game, and you know, game's gonna be broken, and we'll just fix it as we go along. We promise it'll be great in 2 years. Then release it in 2 years. Don't release it now.
And it gets worse every time. Like, we've seen this movie many times, right? Like, Fallout 76, and like it's just way too often. And I think they're just like piggybacking out of, like, you know, there were games like Astroneer and Subnautica that they started, and you knew you were buying into an unfinished product, right? But it was maybe, you know, $20, not 60. And you would expect some bugs, and you were happy. You were part of a community that would report everything, and the developers were really engaged. But then you have some, like, big, massive company like Blizzard, and they come out with this Reforged, Warcraft 3 Reforged idea. Everybody's really excited. Like, I remember when this came out, like, I was incredibly excited. And then they started delaying it because, you know, they had to finish a few things, polish a few things, and we keep on waiting. You start losing some of the enthusiasm, and when it's released, you're, oh yeah, it's super exciting, finally it's out, and it's kind of crappy. Like, even the delay is not justified. It's like, why would you even take longer if it's nothing of what you promised, right? Like, cinematics are not the same as you would expect. It's like relaunching basically like the old game, but with a lot of stuff missing.
No, that's not only the worst part. If they had just taken, like, you know, the Warcraft game and just, like, expanded on it, like, try to make it a little better. But, you know, if you didn't like it, you could just go back to the old Warcraft 3 game. Hey, fine, you know, whatever. People would be like, hey, I don't like this, I'm just going to play Warcraft 3. But no, they literally massacred the original code, the original launcher. Now you can't even play Warcraft 3 anymore, like the original one. Now you have to play Reforged.
And it's people... funny how they're still kind of pissy about how Dota was created, and they
oh yeah,
I think they feel cheated because Dota became such a huge sensation on their own. Like, they may think that they could have gotten more out of it. Like, Dota has, like, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in, like, in prices, and it has been a big sensation, and it kind of create, like, paved the road for League of Legends, which has, like, millions of dollars in prize pools by the end. Like,
so for listeners who may not know, let's just do a little backstory before we dive too deep in there. Dota stands for Defense of the Ancients. It is basically a custom game map built on the old Warcraft 3 engine. Warcraft 3 lets you build custom game maps, custom game modes, and, you know, it made a huge, huge impact on the gaming community because, you know, you didn't need to go all out with, like, a programming degree or anything. You could just, you know, use the assets that are there to make a new game map and just share it, and, you know, the community could enjoy it. So Defense of the Ancients became a really popular custom game map and a custom game mode, to the point where people were just playing that. But unfortunately for Blizzard, the end user licensing agreement that they had allowed players to own whatever custom game map they made. And then Steam came in and they're like, oh, that's an amazing game. You guys want to expand on it and make, like, a standalone feature, and we'll, you know, and that's how Defense of the Ancients 2 came out, Dota 2. And from Dota 2 is where, you know, the whole lane MOBA battles, like, yep, games like League of Legends came to be. And now Blizzard is so terrified of losing another potential $1 billion game created by somebody else, perfected by somebody else, not them, that if any and all custom games that are made with the Warcraft 3 Reforged map editor belong to them in all shapes, all ways, all copyrights. You literally, if you make a game map that people like, Blizzard owns it, and if you make a similar game on your own through Unity, through whatever other programming game engine, Blizzard can sue you. Because that's their game, not yours.
Yep. And it's just like being a sore loser, I guess. They didn't cover for something, and you have to be thankful. I see Dota 2 and League of Legends as the true foundation on where esports kind of started booming. Like, without what League of Legends and Riot did, a lot of, like, the current, like, even Fortnite and CSGO, everything had such a boom after all of this started kind of picking up. So I trace all of this back to, like, the first Dota map, and I feel Blizzard is a little pissy that they didn't grab a lot of that cash, which became, like, a multi-million dollar industry. So
yeah, basically, that's that's their mindset. And, you know, from a business perspective, I get it. You know, somebody made something on your quote-unquote engine and map editor, and they profited from it, and now other companies are profiting from it to a point that you as a company couldn't even get to, because Heroes of the Storm, they really didn't put enough, like, care into it, in my opinion, to, like, nurture it to a point where it could actually compete against League of Legends. Once they notice, like, oh, it's not making us enough money as League of Legends, yeah, we're not going to support it anymore, it's done.
Which was outrageous. Let's take a second to discuss that. Like, they just killed it. There were people that actually committed to their product. And sure, it was not going to be making the millions that League of Legends was making, or even Dota. But it had a really intense following, and they had built all of this, like, esports around it. Like, there were people who were really committed to what they had. I think Heroes of the Storm was having, you know, it was a niche category. Like, it wasn't as big as competitors, but people were really committed to it. And for me, I played it for a while. I felt it was a little bit more relaxed. The community was better.
Oh, no, definitely. The community was 100 times better than League of Legends. I'm sorry for anybody who plays League of Legends and is listening to us. I used to play League of Legends back in the day when it, like, kind of first started. That community is toxic. Toxic. I swear, the elephant foot nuclear waste lump that's in the reactor in Japan is less toxic than the community of League of Legends.
I still played for, like, 4 or maybe 5 years. Like, I played a lot of League of Legends. I really enjoyed the game. The community is just crap. I really think Riot did a lot of good things. They may be making news for other reasons. they had their own, like, little issues in the last months or years. But I think they did a lot of good for the community. But with Heroes of the Storm, once Blizzard had all of this following, since they weren't going to compete with the big dogs in the mobile industry, they just killed it. Like, it was like, out of the blue, one night, everybody's like, yeah, we're planning for, like, tournaments and whatnot, and the new season, and it's gone. Blizzard just terminated everything. And I think that was part of, like, when people started realizing that Blizzard was not making enough money or something, and they were just turning around on the roots, you know? Like, I remember admiring Blizzard as one of the best gaming companies of all time. Their CGIs were, like, second to none. The gameplay, the engines, and how much you could use to create, like, some of the best creations for any RTS were done, like StarCraft 1, even StarCraft 2. So I feel that they lost their way. Maybe some of the people who worked on the original things, like Blizzard has been there for, like, forever, right? So I don't know if a lot of the people retired or went to other companies, but I feel that they have lost their way, and a lot of the new people are just, like, looking for money and looking for the wrong reasons to make games.
Honestly, I think it's what's happening to a lot of companies now, which is, you know, what we're gonna get into in a bit. They're basically just doing it for the stakeholders and the shareholders and, like, all the bigwigs that don't know jack about games. They just care about how the company is doing money-wise. And that's why, you know, they're willing to, like, oh, you know, bend over backwards and, you know, make sure you go to the Chinese market because, you know, it's easy money there with all the whales. Again, for anybody who doesn't know, a whale is a term used not only in gaming but in casinos, dictating a player that literally throws their weight around and their money around like if it's nothing. They just bet and buy and bet and buy constantly. There was a news article, I think, recently of a man who spent almost $1 million for a character in a game, in a mobile game.
And his roommate sold it for, like, $70 or something.
Mm-hmm. Which is hilarious. It's hilarious, but also sad if you really think about it. But all, like, a lot of companies are falling into that niche now. We got Blizzard, we got Bethesda. Bethesda has gone downhill so bad, it's not even funny. And now
it's crazy. Just the Bethesda, that just mentioning their name gets me I'm just so tired of that company. I'm just upset. Like, I don't want to play anything. Like, the second I know that, I don't remember what was the last game that I was looking at, like, the preview, and I'm like, oh, wow, that doesn't look too bad. And at the end, it said Bethesda, and I'm like, oh, okay, you can go off and jump off the cliff.
That's when you go, like, nope. So, nope. And not only that, we're getting into other companies that didn't used to do this. An example that was recent and that kind of sent fans into a bit of an angry rant is Pokemon, the Pokemon company. They were already in kind of hot water. Listen to our previous episodes for an update on that. Shameless plug. They were already in hot water for the whole Pokedex issue, with the new Pokedex for the new games not having all the Pokemon. And, you know, then they're like, okay, no worries. And they threw out the expansion pass with, like, oh, you know, you're going to have the old Pokemons are going to be here, and you're going to have new game and new maps and new stories. And, you know, for this price, and you're like, oh, okay, that doesn't sound bad.
You know, I have to intervene because remember on our previous episodes, cheap plug, we talked about their reasons for not having more Pokemon were that they did not have time for extra animations and they
balancing. I thought balancing was important.
So it was
and I jumped. I actually defended them back in the previous episode.
So I'm like, fine. I mean, I don't like it, but I guess you want to put out a quote unquote quality game and a balanced game. I get it. But the big problem that the community has, and then we'll get to part two of that, is that they lied. That's the problem.
Multiple times.
They lied. They said, oh,
the quality of the first game was not there. We waited and we got excited about all these promises, and again, they just didn't follow through with their promises. Like, we waited and we got excited and it was really disappointing. Oh,
but one thing is releasing a crappy game, another thing is just blatantly lying. It's like, yeah, Pokemon company, you can call me out, but you guys lied. You said
they did.
You can tell now from a mile away that they decided not to do the expansion so they could sell it as a DLC.
Of course.
Correct.
Yep. And like I mentioned, had, you know, I called it. I'm like, they're going to do an expansion. I was kind of hoping they would do, like, the older regions. And who knows? They may still be doing that. But, like, I figured that was where, like, the company's going now. Because it's easier to sell, like, a season pass and just sell small chunks. But like you said, when you say, oh, we didn't do this because animations and balancing. And then you go around and you go, like, but, for $40... you can actually have this. Well, why couldn't we have it before? 30. Oh, still.
So I still kind of defend the expansion. I was really annoyed that they brought in so many of the old Pokemon back, because I couldn't defend them against all of my friends that were saying, like, yeah, see, they just wanted the money grab. They were going to bring them always. They always thought about bringing them. Balancing and animations was BS. So they just wanted to get money for them. So that is there. But at the same time, I thought there was a lot of extra content that I really appreciated. Like, even some of the Galar versions, like the three birds, they look pretty awesome. And it's cheaper than normally, like, season passes. Season passes normally are the same price as the game. So you would pay 60 and they have to pay 60 again, or 50. So you're paying $100 for a full game. So Pokemon went with 60 and 30, which I appreciate. It's still $90, but it's not 120 or 110 like normally we see.
There are two expansions, so not one, by the way.
Well, on the two different games. But if I have Sword, I only get the Sword expansion, and I get both. I get the Island and the Ice Plane, or whatever it's called, the other one. And I think that the actual new content in terms of what you can do in the island with it's a new wild area with new raids and the new ice area and all of the stuff there. I thought it was really nice. For $30, I think it's up there with one of the better price expansions for what you get for your money. So up till there, I was okay. You know, I'm on board. I like all of this. And then they went and
destroyed everything. Part two. Yes.
Part two, Electric Boogaloo.
So we get to the end of January and they announced finally they were going to do Pokemon Home, where you will be able to finally transfer most of your old Pokemon to the Nintendo Switch via and have it cloud storage. They actually went an extra mile. You can do GTS, which I thought was gone forever. But then my expectation was like, oh, this is Pokemon Bank version 2. Therefore, it's going to be priced like Pokemon Bank version 2, which was just $5 a year. Go to the webpage. It's a lot more than $5 a year.
Well, see, you misunderstood them. When they called it Pokemon Home, it's because they're going to literally break into your home and steal your money.
And there's where I draw the line. So whenever I see anything that has a monthly fee, I go back to my years and years and years of playing World of Warcraft. And I say, okay, I would pay my $15 or $13 for World of Warcraft. And I had a full game experience. I enjoyed World of Warcraft. I have like way too many hours into that game. So I compare everything. Is it better to pay $15 for this or to just go back to World of Warcraft and have all the game content? And when you tell me that you have to pay $16 just to be able to transfer Pokemon to like your cloud and out, I just felt insulted. Like, this is not a game. This doesn't enhance the game to the level that you would expect. This is just madness. It's insulting. That's all I can say.
This is madness? This is
copyright!
Exactly.
So, but you know, they actually put me in between, you know, a rock and a hard place, because all my hours and hours and hours of effort, breeding, legendary caching, trading, build them on a beast ball breeding, are stored in my bank. I cannot lose that.
Yeah, that's the fun. That's the fun part. After you put in all that time, because if we're gonna be honest, Pokemon games, like this Pokemon game, doesn't have an end game content. It's like, oh, you became champion? Good, you're done. Just go find more Giga raids fair. And all that.
The raids is an interesting concept. Like
it's an interesting concept.
There's a legendary quest, which wasn't like super short. It was short, but not super short. Then you have like the battle tower, which you can do, and there's a lot of raiding and breathing. Okay.
Think of it this way. Raiding and breeding isn't endgame content. It's grinding. You're grinding. Yes. You're grinding because you want the perfect team. You want the perfect team with perfect IVs. You want that, so you grind to get that. Some people grind and it's cool, but it's not endgame content. It's just something you're doing yourself because you want to like get more out of the game. Like endgame content would be like, oh god, well, which game was it where you went back to Kanto?
Pokemon Gold, Pokemon Silver.
Gold.
Yeah, like that's endgame content. Oh, you finished the main storyline? Guess what? Here's more.
And that was only one of them. Like there was only one game that did that.
Exactly, but that's the sad part. Like people have been begging for that. And after that, like it wasn't much. Like I think only like maybe Black and White or Black and White 2 had like some endgame stuff that was more than just, you know, just grind and go to the Pokemon Tower, or the Pokemon Tree or whatever area you go to be cheated by the computer once you get to a certain level, because they don't want you to just win continuously with a very good team. It's like, oh, your team's perfectly designed for this, but slightly weak against this. Here's three opponents that have the exact same stuff that can beat you. Yes, it's totally random, we swear.
So just to be devil's advocate, this game has a couple of things that are improved from previous versions. I thought the Legendary Quest was pretty interesting. And the Elite Four are randomized, so you don't always fight the same guys. So that is kind of new. And the Battle Towers also randomized. I think it's just different. It's a little bit more to do than in other Pokemon games, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, there still is the occasional troll. Like, I used the rental team, and the worst possible thing that can happen is getting an ice type as an opponent on the first go, and like every so-and-so, they will always put like a very strong ice type because the rental team uses Haxorus as a sweeper. And, like, you know, they throw a Mr. Rhyme there, and here, Blizzard, dead. Now it's 3-2. Good luck.
Yep.
So it happens. But it's pretty good. But I still feel lied to. They should have just been on it. I think I would have been felt less bad, I guess, if they would have just been a minute that, oh, we are reserving the Pokemon for an expansion because, hey, the next company we're going to talk to is being honest about that and at least doing it. I think they're now getting to the point where they're just milking the cow, but they're doing it. And that company... Okay. Oh, do you want to mention something else?
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys remember, but they were these guys that actually hacked into the game and actually found the starters. They found Bulbasaur and Blastoise.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. The Pokemon Company actually sued these guys because they really wanted this to be kept a secret. They were lying on purpose and really wanted this to become a secret. And the leaks were like so outrageous for them that they had to sue the everything across the board because it was costing them money that they wanted to get with the surprise. So I was like, I think I wasn't the only one. I was not surprised to see that they came back with, like, yeah, here's Venusaur and Blastoise. Oh, and all of these legendaries, you know? Like, because they already had been leaked. So I think it was just dishonest from their part. But yeah, you can continue.
I mean, there's kind of another subject of why would you sue somebody for data mining a software they bought? There's a licensing thing going on there, but I haven't read the terms and conditions. I don't think that lawsuit will go far. It's like, I bought software. I'm not using it to make myself more profitable. Therefore, I'm just going to data mine it. Maybe on the data, on the losses that Nintendo, I don't know if they could prove or not that there were losses, but I don't know. Damages and losses, I guess, but I doubt they're going to get very far with that lawsuit. It's software.
We weren't as surprised. Like, I was fully expecting some of the Pokemon to show up. Like I wasn't as surprised. Like, you know, it had been data mined, and we were just, like, not as excited as Pokemon Company
wanted. I did not expect the Legendary Trio with a Galarian remake. That was surprising.
And I liked how they looked, and I was really on board with that when I saw the trailer.
So, I'm not too keen on it, but the Pokemon Home thing is just... That's horrible. That's literally, that's kind of like the healthcare in the U.S. They're really taking advantage of a need. Like, they're taking advantage of a need. Like, I don't want to lose those hours. I don't want to lose the very few mythical Pokemon I have. So they're going to shut down Pokemon Bank. So I have to move them. That's insane.
I would like, I haven't done this analysis, but I would like somebody to come... just present a couple of the numbers of what companies are actually charging, like at least $15 for, right? Or let's go lower, let's go 10. Like, when you compare, like, again, going back to my example, when you compare paying $15 for a monthly subscription like World of Warcraft, with what Bethesda expects you to pay for Fallout 76, which is just like enhanced content that you really don't even care about. But yeah, sure, pay us a monthly fee for it. And you compare that to, oh, Pokemon just wants that amount of money so you can just use their cloud, which is insulting. And then you go to other like scenarios like DC Universe and Star Wars Old Republic, where you can play the full game. They just lock a lot of the features unless you pay them the monthly subscription. So I would like to see that analysis. Like, okay, so $15 can get you, like, World of Warcraft, you cannot play it without paying the subscription. Versus, oh yeah, you can actually use our cloud for the same amount of money. Or you can play our full game, but it's not fully unlocked unless you give us money. To, oh yeah, here's our game. You already pay $60 for it. It's free, but we'll just give you some crappy scraps if you pay us that money. So that comparison is something that just baffles me. Like, I don't know if anybody has sits to think like what like $12 or $14 are worth in the gaming industry, and just value what you're actually getting for your money.
Well, again, it's not really that something that they care about when it comes to the consumer. They just care about when it comes to the money at the end of the fiscal year. That's pretty much what drives them now. Again,
and it goes back to the whales, right?
Yeah.
If somebody will pay the money for crappy service or crappy products, then they feel that they're still going to be getting some money, even if they could have been getting, like, you know, a million more people to subscribe to the whatever they're selling. If it was cheaper or better design, they'd rather get those, you know, like 10,000 whales instead of like a million people that would enjoy and talk well about the product.
Correct, because the whales is a more guaranteed source of income. That's why you have, like, right. If you play any mobile game, which again is disgusting if you really think that, you know, the console, you know, like amazing big budget gaming companies, the AAA like companies are turning to this like template. But if you go on a mobile game, most mobile games are free to play. It's like, oh yeah, buy the premium currency. You have the option for $1, $5, $20, $40, $100. And in your head, you're like, who the heck would pay $100 for this currency? And there's plenty of people who'll do it. And that's why it's there. And sometimes they prefer to just target those whales than to just give a better experience to the regular player. Well, you know, maybe they'll spend like $1, $2, $5 on the game if they like it, but they won't go, you know, $100 deep, $200, $300 to try to get a bit of an edge on it.
You know the game that really opened my eyes on that? Like, I played one of the South Park games, and at the end, when you finish the main story, they tell you how much you spent. Like, I would buy, you know, like, oh yeah, this is $2, this is $3. So I finish the game, it tells me, yo, you spent $33. I'm like, wow, I actually paid for a full game. It's a mobile game, right? So I was playing and wasting a lot of hours of my day just playing their PvP because it was really fun. But the higher I got, and mind you, I had already spent $33 across multiple months, but I had already spent $33 in this game. I got to like a wall. Like it was the jump between people who just spend, you know, $1 or $2 every other week to people who spend $50 or $100 every other week, right? So it was just impossible. Like you would see that jump. It's like, okay, you are crushing everybody below you, but it's 100% impossible to go further. Like, this is the whale territory, you know? Like, your guy has like this much HP, their guy has as much, you know? Like, and you just notice, like, there's a lot of people that invest house payments on these games. One of my friends, he was in a really good guild in one of the Star Wars mobile games. The one that sells the most is, I don't remember, Hero something. And he had people in his guild that had invested over $50,000 in that game. That's insanity. Like, they would confess to it, and there were like studies done, and people who were interviewed. Like, there were people who had already spent over $50,000. And you think, you know, that's a house. Like, people would make their life for like months, even a year, on $50,000, you know, like, and they just invested in getting some like Boba Fett airship or something like that, you know, like, and it's just crazy. Like, when you see these companies be this money hungry, is because there is a market. There's people in Dubai that, you know, instead of spending it on a necklace, they'll dump it on a game and enjoy it for a week, and then they'll get bored, and then they'll dump another $1,000, you know.
Oh, they go buy a gold-plated Lamborghini.
That too.
Yeah.
So, what company were you going to talk about, Mike?
So, this company is kind of overdoing it as well, and it's our friends from HAL Laboratories and Nintendo Smash, Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. They released the final character, which I don't know what his name is because I haven't played the game, but it's from Fire Emblem. You know, not like we already did not have any sort of representation from Fire Emblem.
Yeah, people were not happy about that. A lot of Smash players I know were not very happy about that. And again, I every time they said something, I would go like, oh, what were you expecting? We're expecting, wah, Luigi.
Those people are ridiculous.
Well, Terry Bogard came out of nowhere. Like, Banjo-Kazooie and Terry Bogard were okay. No Mai Shiranui, but Terry Bogard was okay.
No, like,
Smash Brothers has a lot of characters, right? It's like,
yeah, the inclusion of Banjo-Kazooie was, you know, like, fans wanted it, and it was a great addition. But like you said, it's, you know, for the Fire Emblem one, it's like, okay, cool, but there's plenty of sword users right now, and Nintendo has a large pool of characters they can, like, get from. Couldn't they have gotten somebody else, maybe? Like, even the like, the meme Waluigi, you know, no. Okay, you don't have to go with Waluigi, but there's plenty of other characters they could have, like, from plenty of other games, they could have kind of, like, just grabbed something from. Like, they could have maybe brought in, I don't know, like, the Dark Samus. Is she already in the game?
Yes,
I don't know
if she's already in the game. Yes,
she is.
She is?
Yes. Okay, cool. Then there Lolo. You go.
Lolo and Lala.
Ooh, oh, God. That. Awesome. Oh, God. Mike would probably
what
invest
would they do
too many
to you?
Hours.
What did they do to you? Perplex your character to death?
No.
They have the robot thing. Come on. Yeah. The robot thing, I never thought that it was going to be in the game.
Rob, yeah.
Yeah, Rob. I forgot his name for a second. Yeah.
Robotic Rob. Operating buddy.
What would Lolo and Lala do? Push a block on your face and push you out to your death?
No, they can shoot the little thing at you. They can put you in like an egg and push you away. They could summon all of the evil creatures from their games. So many evil creatures. They could dump a heart block on you. There's plenty of options.
Well, yeah.
If they summoned that little snake, I would just jump off the platform myself. Like, I wouldn't let that thing touch me. I'm sorry.
Yep. Or the Medusas and the Don Medusas. Ah, I hate that game.
Exactly. See? So much potential right there. And you could have also brought something maybe from, like, the Yoshi's game, like the Yoshi Island games. Yep. The Mario RPG games, like Super Mario RPG, had a ton of characters. You could just literally
the little cloud guy. What was his name? I love that guy.
Yeah, or the puppet
from
guy.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, that would,
like,
have been awesome.
You could have gone with those, but Fire Emblem is like cool, generic sword Fire Emblem guy. Excellent.
Which I don't remember
the
name.
The magical Koopa was awesome too.
You're talking about comic.
Yeah, so they had options. I just, like, I think they're, like,
I wouldn't want to see Comic, because Comic just brings me bad memories. You know how many freaking stages you have to just run, and that little piece of garbage just flew towards you, or just converted all your blocks into enemies, and you would fall to your death? Yep. I don't think comic should be rewarded with an appearance in Sash.
Oh, come on. You know you'd love him.
Well, maybe to destroy it, but it can fly. So how would you put that character in there?
I don't know. You could probably come up with something.
So
like what do you guys think about the idea that there's a new fighter's pass?
Yeah, that's what I was going to talk about. It's like they first went with, oh, this is a full game. These are going to be all your characters. Don't bother me ever again asking for characters. And then in comes the fighter pass. They release 5 fighters, I think 5 sages along with them and some music. But right around number 4-ish, they started now hinting at, you know what? We might do more, so get ready. And, well, like that exactly that happened. They said, you know what? We're going to do a Fighter Pass Season 2. It's like Smash is officially Mugen. Officially.
Okay. Yeah. You want to know the funniest part? It's like Smash is, I think, the number one or the number two game in Evo, the competitive fighting game tournament. Like when they were announcing their 8 games for this Evo, that was like I think the first or the second one they mentioned, and this is above fighting games like Tekken. I don't think Tekken was included this year, to be honest.
Which Smash? Let's be clear. Is it the GameCube one or the new Smash
Bros.? No, the new Smash.
Okay.
I think that the only older game that they're doing in Evo, and they surprised the heck out of everyone with this announcement, because of it's the 20th anniversary of it, they're doing Capcom versus Marvel 2.
Oh, wow. That's
interesting. And they're inviting back like 4 of the top players that have won Evos in the past for Capcom versus Marvel 2, and then the other 4 will be determined in some way that they haven't mentioned yet.
That's cool.
So now I'm kind of curious, because you did a 5 character fighter pass where your 4 first characters were kind of cool and unexpected, but then your 5th fat character was just another Fire Emblem character.
With blue hair. It was just like Lucina and like...
Yeah, Smart. Marth. Just...
Yeah.
So, why would they say now, we're going to bring 5 more fighters? Like, your last super creative surprise was a rehash of another Fire Emblem character. What other 5 characters were you thinking of bringing if you kind of failed us on the last one?
Wah!
Waluigi's not happening, man.
Come on, don't kill the dream.
They'll do it eventually. Like when you mentioned Mugen, like I remember like the Evangelion. Like if you just like make it full, it couldn't stand up back. It was hilarious. Like that's my fondest memory of Mugen.
I mean, the characters I can think of, if they really want to surprise us, characters that I can think of would be something like you know, even though it really doesn't fit the game, but maybe they can just PG it, one of the Mortal Kombat characters.
Yeah, you never know.
That would be really outside the box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pushing it outside the box.
You can PG it, I mean, just...
No, definitely.
No, well, like licensing, it's really weird. Like, that would be a really weird thing to see.
Oh, come on. Tell me it wouldn't be amazing. The Mortal Kombat company would be like, okay, we'll license one. You have to let us license one of your characters for our game next. Could you imagine Mario in Mortal Kombat? I would just throw money at them. I'd be like, okay, cool. I want to see Mario doing a fatality.
Or being done a fatality.
Exactly. That would be hilarious. Like, could you imagine that absurdity? The Joker versus Mario in a Mortal Kombat game with fatalities. Can your mind even process that?
I think they would choose a more serious character like Link.
Of course, you know, they could choose Link, they could choose anybody, but Mario would be just, it would just be perfection.
Let's make a bet that they do either, hell, I wouldn't be surprised if they do like the Link from Link's Awakening.
You could do that
as an extra character.
That wouldn't be as that would really be really easy and boring if you ask me. Like, you know what I would like? You know, with the new release of the Samurai Showdown, like, bring somebody from Samurai Showdown. That would be awesome.
Another sword user.
But it's katana. It's like a samurai duelist. It's totally different fighting style.
Honestly, at that point, they should just double down and be like, you know what? Nintendo's gonna reach out to like Shonen Jump and all these like anime companies, and we're just gonna bring anime characters. It'd be like, okay, and so the five new characters can be Goku, Naruto, Luffy, JoJo, and I don't know, like some obscure, maybe like Lupin the Third or something.
Lupin the Third.
Yeah, Lupin the Third. You've never seen that?
Isn't that like the detective anime?
Yeah, he's a, thief, basically. The detective is the guy who who chases him.
I never saw it, but I remember it looked like an anime theme, like a detective anime theme character.
Yeah, kind of. He's in the style of the like the roguish thief, quote unquote. He's still a thief, but he does the right thing, but he still likes to steal. It's good. I know they're doing a, I think they're doing a new CGI movie. I've seen like clips of like a trailer.
With the partnership that they now finally have with Square Enix, where you have Cloud and the hero from Dragon Quest, it's like they would probably even bring Noctis if they wanted to.
They could.
Crazy.
Or, you know, Sasuke version 2, basically.
That would be a very interesting door to open. They brought Cloud. Why not just bring, like, Tifa and Barret?
I was literally about to go there. It's like, hey, since they're doing the Final Fantasy VII remake, just bring Tifa, bring Aerith, bring, like, Cid.
Retro Team.
Red 13, Yuffie, just bring the whole cast. Just dump them in there. The heck with it.
I don't think it might happen. You would probably see maybe Vincent, yes, but you would probably see maybe, you know, like the Squall Lionhearts, or did I know it's Squall? What's his name? Was it Lionheart? Squall,
right? Yeah, Squall Lionheart. Yeah.
Squall Lionhearts, your Zidane's, your Tidus.
Oh, Zidane would be awesome. Yes. I love Zidane.
Zidane would be good. And honestly, if you ever play like Final Fantasy Dissidia, like
Dissidia, that's where I thought we were going.
Like now, legit, yeah. they have their own fighting styles. Heck, at that point, yep. Bring Kefka. Just have Dancing Mad in the background for like his final stage in Final Fantasy VI.
But I doubt they're gonna like bring more than one character per partnership. So this is just like a dream. I think I honestly think something like Mortal Kombat would be more possible.
Yeah,
or maybe one of the Contra guys just shooting everybody.
I mean, they went with the Duck Hunt dog and duck, so like they can definitely tap into old games and just bring something out.
What, like the kid from Adventure Island?
It's Side Back.
Yeah, you could do the guy from Adventure Island. You could do the kid from Star Tropics.
The knight from Super Ghouls and Ghost. Epic.
Yeah. Oh yep. Well, wasn't he already in a fighting game? I'm fairly sure I remember him. Yes, Capcom versus SNK. Was it Capcom versus Marvel? He's a Capcom character, basically.
Marvel versus Capcom. Yeah, I think he's there. Yeah.
Or maybe M. Bison.
That'd be awesome. M. Bison versus Ganondorf. Ultimate evil prevails.
Yeah, so there's potential, but I kind of saw a silhouette. I don't know if that was true or not on one of those websites. That kind of looked like one of those Minecraft blocky characters.
Oh God, no, no, oh, please, God, no.
That was a silhouette, though. I don't know if I just read a troll article or if it was accurate, but they were saying like Nintendo hints at the first fighter from the second season of the Fighter Pass, Money Grab, by the way, and it looked like a blocky, like one of those Minecraft creeper silhouettes.
Please, no, thank you.
But yeah, it's like, I hope they come up with something better than another Fire Emblem character, honestly. This is, they're overdoing it. There's so many Fire Emblem characters that I don't remember anyone anymore.
But honestly, this is still Nintendo doing expansion passes right. You know, it's still them, even though, you know, it's still a little crappy, but still the character like packs are not that super expensive. They're innovative characters, they're like unique characters, so it's pretty cool. It's better than, you know, hey kids, you want those features that should have been in the game, but, you know, we were too lazy to put in? Don't worry, pay us $100 a year and you too can enjoy Fallout 76.
I mean, I fell victim to that in a way. I don't know if you guys remember, you probably do, but I remember it vividly because I played it far longer. Rise on 7 episode.
Oh, wow, yeah, Rose.
Oh, wow.
Rose Online.
You played a lot of Rose. Yes.
I remember that.
I was playing, like, World of Warcraft. I dropped. I played League of Legends. I went back to World of Warcraft, and you were still playing Rose.
Yes.
But I'll be honest, with MMOs, especially with free MMOs, that was kind of what they did in the past. Like, back in the day when there were so many, there were just too many RPGs online, MMORPGs, that they had to, like, do that free kind of thing to get you in, and then you had to pay for, like, to actually be able to, in my opinion, get to other levels. But that was pretty common back in the day. But it was an MMORPG, and the main thing, it was free to play. If it's free to play and you're telling me you'll have to pay eventually to either get to a certain point or to get perks or to make it easier, okay, because I didn't buy your game outright. I just downloaded it, I'm playing, we're cool. But once you go like, oh yeah, $60 for the game. Okay, cool, here's $60. Okay, we'll get this game into a great condition in about 2 years. Wait, what? What do you mean in 2 years? No, we're working on it. We've listened to the community. We will definitely make it an amazing game. We have a great roadmap. As soon as I hear roadmap lately, I just get irked.
That happened to Final Fantasy 14.
But they made it better.
It took me a while, though. I was one of the people that actually got the apology email from them.
Oh, damn.
Me too.
I think I probably did. I know I played it back in the day. Heck, I played Final Fantasy XI back in the day.
I think that's the only Final Fantasy I missed. Yeah. Like, the numbered games, I never played 11. I wish one of these days they just re-release an offline version of it.
Yeah, you didn't miss much, trust me. But, see, in the case of Final Fantasy, they actually listened to the players, and they corrected their path, and they've made a game that right now has been pretty much beating World of Warcraft in subscription numbers for quite a while. Another game that comes to mind when it comes to like botched initial games and then eventually becoming a better game is No Man's Sky. No Man's Sky, they sold it as if it was going to be, you know, brought to you by the heavens themselves. God would deliver it to you on a silver platter. It would cure cancer. And it wasn't a bad game, it was just monotonous. It wasn't what they promised. And it took them a while. It took them like,
come on, don't sugarcoat it. It was really bad when it was released.
It wasn't bug ridden,
but it wasn't good.
You wanna know the sad part? I've played worse. So like when I played it, I'm like, it's not what I was expecting. But I liked a few elements of it. I liked the flying, I liked like this interplanetary travel. I liked all that. I'm a space geek. I like that. But it took them at least 2 years. And by then, you know, only now are they kind of getting back some players. For a while, they just lost most of them. But they at least owned up to it. They're like, yes, we realize we oversold it. We threw a game that wasn't ready out there. We apologize. We'll offer refunds if you want. But, you know, we promise we'll, if you stick with us, we'll make a good game. And they did. They made a much better game right now. But Fallout 76 hasn't even accepted their fault. Blizzard hasn't accepted their fault. Blizzard was like, you know, oh, we're sorry. This is literally what they said in their apology letter. We're sorry that some players didn't get the experience that they wanted from the game. Yep. That is some BS right there.
Great A, in fact. Angus.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of saying, hey, you know what? We messed up. We really messed up. We're going to offer refunds. We're going to fix this. We're going to make it so that, you know, you can play the old World of Warcraft game again. I mean, old Warcraft 3 game again. And, you know, we're going to work on this. And once we're ready, we'll bring it out. It'll just be like an update, an expansion. It'll be like $20 or something. We're sorry. Nope. They're like, oh, no, we're sorry that some of you didn't like the game or were expecting more. But no worries. We've listened to the community. Again, that's another sentence I hate. And we're going to be working on it. And we plan on working on it for many years to come. It's like, no, dude. Get the right game out now, and then focus on making it better.
Yep. You know a company that did that well, like Subnautica. I always talk about that game. I bought it when it first started. It was nothing, and it grew into like a very beautiful experience. And I really appreciate the developers for that.
Well, this is going to be the end of this episode. Before we go, let's make one final bet. Who's going to be the first character in Nintendo's Smash Brothers expansion pass? Throw a name out there.
Who's going to be the first one? Let me dig into my obscure old NES games. Okay, I got one. The unicycle from Uniracers. Haha, bet you don't even remember that game.
Oh, wow. Super Nintendo game, actually.
Yep.
I
don't think they're going to be that creative.
Of course not.
I'll bet that they're going to take something from like Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Okay, so Dex is going with Unicycle Racers. I forgot the name. Uniracers, I think.
Uniracers, yep.
Yes. Uniracers. Uniracers.
Rich is going with the safe route, another Pokemon. I will probably go with Out of the Box. I think they're going to do a collab with likely maybe Capcom and bring another Street Fighter character back.
Yeah, that is a safe bet.
It's a safe one, yeah.
I mean, by those standards, we could just say another Mega Man character.
Yeah,
that's actually a good idea.
But they could do something really, really boring. Like they have King and Ryu. Let's just bring Akuma or something like that.
Probably or Go. What's the other master name? Gouken, was it?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
All right, so this will end our episode. As we stated in the start, we have a Patreon at patreon.com/geeksandgripes. You know, this is expensive. We hope we get to start having Patreons. We will have some exclusive content. We will stop censoring games. We will show you how vast Dex's vocabulary is.
It is quite, quite expansive.
I'm sure you're hearing us through podcast means, or if you're finding us on YouTube, we are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Let's see if we can get inside iHeartMedia as well. On social media, we are Geeks and Gripes. We're trying to post stuff. Except on Twitter, which is at Geeks and Gripes, but you know, find us around. We will respond if you send us something. We're cool with it. If you find this episode and want to throw an opinion out there, who you think is going to be the sixth extra character in Smash? Go ahead. We'll see who's going to win this virtual bet. But thank you for being with us, and we hope that you have a good rest of your day or evening or whatever it is you're doing. Have a good one, everyone.
See ya.
Laters, people.